Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. It is a time where we're joined by Cynthia Hofsminter and Janet Manco from the Lakeville Journal. We cover mostly the stories in the Lakeville Journal, but occasionally shoot over to the Millerton News as well. You can find them at tricornernews.com, and you can find them right now. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice to speak to you on this Christmas morning.
Beautiful out. I drove here through Lakeville and then Falls Village, and it's one of the most beautiful days you've had this winter.
This is one of those storms I remember as a kid, where even if you got 6, 10, 12 inches of snow, after the storm was over, there was no horrific cold winds, and it was actually beautiful, actually warm and peaceful out, which doesn't happen this winter very often.
And I'm hoping it'll melt some of it today and tomorrow.
Well, it'll definitely melt some of it. I don't know about all of it, but you know what? It's March, you know. And wait around 5 minutes and the weather will change.
Yeah.
Well, let us go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal. Lila Hawkins has a story about, once again, seems like we've been talking about this for years and years and years, area towns working on affordable housing plans.
It does feel like we've been talking about it for years, but we're actually moving towards some kind of resolution, which is the state is requiring all towns to have an affordable housing plan as part of their planning and zoning by July of this year, so the deadline is coming up. Jocelyn Eyre, who for many years was at our regional COG, the organization of all the first selectmen of 21 area towns, had left the COG and is now doing an affordable housing consulting group. And so she's been going around to area towns and doing a presentation and had done surveys for three of the towns. And so what Leila's reporting on here is they had done Zoom talks from, I think it was North Canaan, Kent, and Sharon. And it's she gives a good summary of it in the beginning, but if you live in each of those three towns, or if you're even remotely interested in affordable housing, as we all should be, she gives the summary of all the data that, as Jocelyn presented it. And it's very interesting, and it really is an incredible snapshot of the diversity of our towns, the farther northest, most north town, the farther most southern town, and then Sharon, which is sort of in the middle. Definitely worth reading.
You know, what's interesting about those, I looked at some of the data, especially from the Sharon meeting. Sharon Ridge Affordable Apartments has an 80-family waiting list.
Yeah.
80. Incredible. Now, that's Sharon. Now, even in North Canaan, where they have some affordable, once again, they have a huge, huge waiting list. I mean, this is a big problem in our area, and it's only getting worse because there's less and less housing available for, never mind people that need affordable housing, but people that just need housing. And
right.
So this is something the towns do have to address. Speaking about addressing, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago, Falls Village faced a huge increase in their money they had to pay to Housatonic Valley Regional High School because they had a large class size. But I look at this story, and I see North Canaan is facing $745,000.
Massive. I feel like North Canaan actually had this come up a few years ago, too, and it comes kind of out of nowhere. It's hard for the towns to plan for it because not only are they being charged per student, which they can kind of track through, although in the last 2 years, of course, we've all had, you know, not huge increases at our local schools, but, you know, increases. And when you have these schools with 8 kids in a class, that's a big increase. North Canaan, of course, one of our biggest schools. But also what's happening is each town is not only paying for its individual students, but they're paying a percentage of the overall based on their student population. And so North Canaan's been hit very hard. And, of course, North Canaan not a town that has the most affluent, not full-time residents, so that the people who are living in the town are really paying a hardship tax out of their own pockets. You know, taxes are hard for everybody. Every town suffers from them. But I would say in North Canaan, the burden feels very heavy. So hard to watch it, and we'll hope that that there's some way for them to get through this, you know, $750,000 sudden increase right in the middle of budget season.
That's amazing. People can get the full details. If you're wondering about your town, like Salisbury is another town that has a big increase of almost $270,000 from the previous year. But if you want the full details, if you want to look where your town stands and what you pay, it's right there on the front page of the Lakeville Journal.
And the public hearing coming up April 7th. So you can also go to the Region 1 website and you can see the budget.
Yeah.
There's not, unfortunately, much that can be done about this. And I would say, because Salisbury is the town with, I think, at last I heard, was the third lowest tax rate in the state, there is a little bit more cushion room there.
Yeah.
But, you know, very hard for North Canaan.
I love the picture, the proud parent picture, by the way. I just have to put that in there.
You know, I love that. I love baby animals, as everybody knows. Alvia Janoux up at Wheat Dog Farm in Salisbury nicely shared this with us, and she has the most beautiful Instagram with all of the baby animal photos.
And anybody who's driven around on our area roads, whether it's in New York, Connecticut, or Massachusetts, realize that there is, once again, it's mud season, but it's also pothole season, and you can do a great deal of damage to your automobile or truck.
Right. Not much you can do about it. I grew up in Chicago where the potholes would literally sink a VW Beetle because they would get so enormous. It's the combination, Deb explains in here, of different factors, but a lot of it is the cold and then the warm, and then the cold and then the warm, and then there's a lot of water, and the water gets in, and it freezes, and it melts, and it's just it's a mess. It's going to be a very difficult coming spring as the state and the towns rush to try and cold patch, and eventually there's going to have to be some serious work done on these roads, and that's going to be expensive too.
And it's been one of those seasons where normally we get into mud season once, but this year, so far, we've been into two mud seasons.
Yeah. Although I like the idea that it's not quite winter. Not spring yet, but it's not quite winter.
We'll go to a story by Patrick Sullivan, and that is State Senator Craig Minor urging streamlining overdose responses.
And sadly, this is about having school teachers and school administrators ready for overdoses in school, of young children who are in the school setting and have an overdose. So sad that we have to think about it, but glad that somebody's thinking about it.
And you've got a story on a forum that probes the link between forests and brain health.
Right, the Great Mountain Forest, anybody who's been up there. And, of course, on a day like today, I'm sure that there will be a lot of people up there cross-country skiing and snowshoeing on their beautifully laid out, beautifully open trails. And there is something about being in the quiet of the forest at a time that's very stressful and having the time to just take a breath and allow your brain to sort of reorganize it. And so great talk at the Great Mountain Forest about exactly how that works scientifically.
And I will go. Good news, Crescendo received two major grants.
Christine Gavard is really extraordinary. You know, just an amazing person, interesting and a wonderful teacher and active part of Trinity Church, but also has been running this group called Crescendo that does fairly obscure music. And she explained to me once that part of the reason why they often do unknown pieces is not only that it's interesting, but also because they're able to do it at an affordable price, because as we know, running a nonprofit is expensive. So good to them for getting two big grants. And as we also know, as nonprofits, not that easy to get these grants. You got to work at it.
A couple of stories on a couple of scholarship opportunities. One of the best scholarships, I think, around is the Northwest Connecticut Community Foundation. Every year they award a scholarship that gives you $20,000 a year for 4 years. That application period is coming up. And also, Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association has opened up two new scholarships for healthcare professionals.
And boy, do we need healthcare workers. This is the page, A2, where we tend to run scholarship application information, and eventually, I would say in the next couple months, we'll start running information on who has received these grants. A great opportunity, and there is, not endless amounts of money, but important money available.
You know, and listening to NPR this morning, there's a problem with nurses, and that is the fact that once they get and they leave school and they have their degree, it's taking states almost 3 weeks to certify those degrees before people can go to work. Some states, it's almost 3 months. And so if we have a nursing shortage, folks out there, with new nurses, that's one of the reasons why. But two outstanding scholarships, especially that one for Housatonic students. We've got a nice story in the Our Town section by Patrick Sullivan. Into the Woods is coming into the Housatonic Musical Theater Society's realm.
Patrick is so stalwart at going to the rehearsals of all these student and children's film companies. Patrick is so gruff and really has an affection for these productions. And, of course, they always do wonderful shows at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. This year, Michael Kevin Baldwin from Sharon Playhouse has taken over and is directing, stepping in where Michael Berkeley had done such a beautiful job. And Michael is just so full of energy and optimism and light. And I think, Janet, you'll know this. I think he's a graduate of Housy. So a familiar return for him. But March 17th, 18th, and 19th, we've got Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine's wonderful Into the Woods, one of the most beloved musicals, I think.
And for people to be reminded, next week we're going to be interviewing Michael Baldwin and a couple of the student actors in that as well. Right below that, The Gruff, I call him crotchety, but The Gruff, Patrick Sullivan's story on Falls Village receiving their American Rescue Plan Act funds for 2014.
Right. All the towns going through the process of trying to decide how to use that money. A lot of the towns are much farther along in the process, but happy to see Falls Village beginning their process, and they still have plenty of time.
And Cornwall has now signed on with Myra, with regret. I like that, with regret.
Yeah.
I think every town is signing on with regret.
Yeah, I think even the state is signing on with regret. Nobody really wants to do this. And, you know, I keep having people come up to me in the grocery store and saying, like, why are they not just building a new plant? It's like, it's expensive. And as, you know, you were pointing out with the nurses, there's a lot of legislative and, you know, approval hurdles that have to be reached. So even if they decided to build one, it's not happening anytime soon. So, sadly, the plant was allowed to fall apart, and our garbage is now being shipped out of state. It's increasing the costs at a time when we're already seeing inflation, and nobody's happy about it.
All right, and you've got a story on remaining on your toes in an emergency.
Yeah, Diane Beebe, amazing EMT person from Cornwall, gave a talk on what to do in emergencies. And, of course, Cornwall, famous for being a town where really everybody kind of helps out and tries to take care of each other. And it's just a wonderful, helpful little article. And above that, my favorites, Eric Carlson and Lou Timelot over here, just around the corner at the Falls Village Sawmill, making syrup. It's been a weird season for making syrup, but also they're getting some gallons of sap. And if you want to see how the process works, go to Sharon Audubon March 19th. They have their wonderful annual
Maple
walk
Fest,
down
yeah.
the Maple Trail and the bake sale of maple goods. And I've done it many times. I never get tired of it.
If you go, just dress warmly because it's mostly outdoors until you get to the Sugaring House. Now, I want to go to the page that has a great picture on it, and the picture is new signs for bicyclists, and it's a trail sign that shows a bike and then US 7. I think that's great, actually.
Yeah, here I am right on US Auto Route 7, but this is a bicycle Route
yep.
7, and it's a bicycle trail, and of course you don't have to have lived here for long to know this is a huge area for bicycling, and people come here from other parts of the world. So this is a new bicycle route that's going to go from Norwalk, Connecticut, up to the Canadian border with Vermont. We're very excited to be part of it. Dan Bolognani from the Housatonic National Heritage Area has been very active in this. Dan, I feel like you did a story in this years and years ago with Saul from Kent.
From
is that
Kent,
the same
right.
route?
Yeah, I do.
And the Housatonic girls have advanced in the state tournament. Nice picture there of Sydney Sagala.
Championship player Sydney Sagala, whose sister Lauren, also a championship athlete. And their game was on Tuesday night. I actually don't know what the result of that was.
Yeah, I think they're still moving on, by the way. I think so. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, that's great. And we're happy to have Hunter Lyle writing sports for us, a graduate of Housatonic, and an aspiring sports journalist.
And speaking about sports, the middle school sports program has
wrapped up.
We're
very excited to have Ann McNeil writing for us again, the athletic director not only for the Housatonic Valley Regional High School, but the regional athletics program, and who's worked really hard to kind of figure out the most efficient way to make that program run. And she gives us a little report here, and we were all interested to see that they include the art garage as part of the sports program, and we love that.
And they're actually getting ready for soccer season already. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You've got a story on, once again, Industry Restaurant.
Industry Restaurant, which is owned by Festim Ajro, whose father, and now Festim also, own Roma's Pizza, one of the most beloved pizzerias in pizza-rich downtown North Canaan. And apparently Industry is doing great, and they give credit to their wonderful wings. And then we have a story on some of those many vintage and flea and antique shops opening up in North Canaan, which not unexpectedly have experienced a boom. They opened up just shortly before the COVID real estate madness began, and people have been going there and shopping to decorate their homes, which is great.
Before we go to the editorial page, you've got a big segment in there for the love of your health.
I'm going to let Janet talk about that.
Right. We have a special bannered section on wellness and summer camps, which go together. If you want to feel well, as we were just talking about in that front page story, get outside, get outdoors, and appreciate it. So take a look to see where you can find camps for your kids and wellness opportunities for everyone. And Cynthia has a great story here on finding strength through gratitude and positive thinking. And it was a great time to do that as we're coming into the third mud season and maybe the fourth.
All right, we'll get back to Cynthia with a very busy Compass section, but let's go to the editorial page first. Challenges remain for young families.
Right. In the northwest corner and across the country, one of the challenges is that the child tax credit has expired, and this makes a big difference for families, especially those who are near the poverty line or just could use some help. And as we look at child care situations, every family can use some help. It's way too expensive for families to afford good child care, and these centers have been so challenged by the pandemic and the effects of changing personnel and being able to stay open through, through COVID. And so give this a read. There are other challenges families face, including what we were just talking about, too, housing. And it all is part of, if we want healthy communities here and we want these young families to stay here who are part of the communities and who work here, we need to find ways to support them. And so it's great to know that we're trying to find more affordable housing, but we all need to be aware of it and support them.
And a couple of letters, one about Ukraine and another letter that was sent not only to you, but the the state of Connecticut, the OHS, about the accounting practices.
That's right.
What's going on with New Vance Health.
Exactly. That's from Marion and Carl Ferguson, and they're they read everything that we had in the paper last week and, you know, previous weeks about what's happening with New Vance and Sharon Hospital, and they're making their case to OHS and want unilateral actions taken. And so they're putting it out there, and we'll see what sort of response they get.
And next week I'll be speaking with a doctor who works inside the hospital about their view about what's going on. And we'll also be speaking with Victor Jermak, speaking about forensics and accounting. Victor Jermak has been involved with the Sharon Hospital ever since it was originally taken to a nonprofit status many, many years ago.
Yeah, and you've from had a nonprofit status when Essen picked it up. It was for-profit.
For-profit. And of your guest commentary about rural hospitals in trouble in Connecticut.
That's right. This is from David Singer, who is representing the board of Save Sharon Hospital here and himself, and really good piece he wrote that has a lot of information on how rural hospitals are struggling in general, plus Sharon Hospital-specific issues with New Vance and how it will move forward. So do give it a read. It's a lot of information and good to have.
And Lonnie Cutter, attacked the Russian money.
That's right, which happens to go very well with Peter Steiner's cartoon this week.
Yeah.
So it was as if they were on the same page, and they were. And so, yeah, read Lonnie's piece. As he says, the Poles, Romanians, Hungarians couldn't agree on pierogi or goulash, but they're taking in the Ukrainians. They can agree on that.
All right, and we can move back right now to Compass, because it looks like you've got a pretty full Compass here, Cynthia.
The world is coming back alive. It's very exciting. And also Into the Woods at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Nice to have. I had tickets for the Sound of Music, which up until the last minute they were trying to find a way at the beginning of COVID back in 2020 to get that show on. Couldn't. And I know they did. They did a couple small performances. But so exciting to have. Into the Woods coming up March 17th, 18th, 19th at the high school. Ed Furman, who's been writing our streaming column for us, interestingly, talking about why people are so attracted to post-apocalyptic stories and giving two examples of streaming programs, Station 11 and WALL-E, and saying that people seem to like them because it gives them a sense that there's a way out. Diva, one of my all-time favorite films, is being screened at the Nancy Marine Theater at the Warner in Torrington, and Jeff Pelfini says that Boondocks is back, and they have a full spring and summer schedule of monthly screenings coming up, so we'll have more on that when it comes up. At Argazi Art, Judith Singelis is in love with the work of Kathy Moss, and when you see it in person, and actually this painting is a black-and-white painting, but it's got a lot of richness and a lot of depth. They're just really wonderful. Judith is there at the gallery on weekends and would love to tell you why she is so in love with the work of Kathy Moss. Bard continuing to do an interesting program. They're having Salome, which is the opera written by Richard Strauss from the Oscar Wilde play, and Bart has done this performance, I guess he must have done it 10 years ago, but very memorable. And then Robert Cronin, a very well-known artist, living here quietly in Little Falls Village, and had done a number of little sketches as he was falling asleep, and ended up taking some of those sketches and making canvases out of them. His style is very whimsical and lovely, and a show of it at the D.M. Hunt Library.
Now, I forgot to mention, Janet, I looked at Turning Back the Pages, and I think I might be right about this, but you've got 25 years ago, in March of 1997, a plan to build a 190-foot communications tower in Kane, and went to a public hearing. And then I said to myself, I was reading this, is that the tower that they built, and then they had to rebuild it because it was built wrong?
That sounds about right, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep an eye. Norma will be, going forward and looking at the papers each week. So we'll see if something comes up about that and see if there's follow-up in the paper.
But I remember they had to rebuild the tower over it, yes. Because the original, and I'm almost positive it has to be that tower, because not that many towers have been built until recently.
Exactly,
in our region.
Right. More recently than, this had to be one of the first. So you know what? That's how we learn.
Well, that's why also, if anybody who looks at the paper at the Lakeville Journal, Turning Back the Pages is just, if you're fairly new to the area, even if you've lived here your whole life and you're young, you can find out a lot about the history about the area just by looking at that article every week.
Oh, it's true. Norma really finds interesting pieces. And you'll see names that you will still recognize who are, people who either are still here themselves, or like us, or their families are still here. A nice piece about Tom Zetterstrom of Canaan in there, actually.
As well, it's one of the. It sounds crazy, but when I get the, this is going to sound terrible because Jill likes to get the paper. When I get the digital edition,
well, I'm glad you get that. We love people who read that digital edition. I do too.
I scroll right to that first, and then I'll go back and I'll look at everything else. But it's just for me, as someone who works a lot, it's just a lot easier to do it that way. And also, by the way, I take some of those stories after they've been published in your paper, and we also put links to them on our Daily Bugle page, hopefully to get more people in tune with how important local news is, especially. You're the only local newspaper that really serves our immediate region with the Journal and the Millerton News.
Well, we appreciate that support, and thank everyone who reads us, whether in paper or online or both. And don't miss this week in the Millerton News. There's a lot of coverage of Polish-born Andrei Wolodar and his wife gathering money for Ukraine, and they're doing all kinds of programs and fundraisers to be able to support Ukraine.
Yeah, big fundraiser is scheduled for Saturday at the Regallery, which includes, it seems like, just about every restaurant or food person in the area, the Harneys. There's even an art auction and everything like that.
Which is great.
And they put that all together in like 3 days. Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. But you know what? Ukrainians have had to respond quickly to something that we cannot even imagine. So we are glad local folks are stepping up.
All right. Well, you can find these stories and more in the Lakeville Journal and the Millerton News. Their website is tricornernews.com. You can also, of course, get a subscription to the paper and have it delivered to your house. Or you can go through many areas and just pick it up in whatever store you want to pick it up. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week, and we'll see if we have snow on the ground or it's green and sunny.
Thank you so much.
Green and sunny.
All right, take care, guys.
You too.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. As once again, you can find This Week in the Lakeville Journal on our website at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And as I said, at their website, tricornernews.com.